good. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and a couple of young ladies coming to sing for us tonight. Now, this is Bailey's last service. She will be headed up to college on Saturday, I believe. And so if you haven't wished her well, be sure and do that tonight. They'll be leaving then. So we'll get very glad to. 1 Corinthians 4, we'll hear these ladies, and then we'll be right in there. Good. God bless you. We'll miss hearing those girls sing here in just a little while, but that's how it goes, all right? So, amen. I want to speak to you tonight on the virtues of faithfulness. Look with me at verse number 1, 1 Corinthians 4. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I just got this on my heart the last couple, 3 days. The virtues of faithfulness. Let's pray together and we'll get into this. Our Father, we're thankful tonight for the salvation that you wrought in our hearts. We're thankful, God, for the Bible you've given us, for the church you've raised up on this corner, for all the many blessings you've bestowed upon us, Lord, none of which we deserve. And the privilege to meet tonight here is one of those. And to pray together and to enjoy the missionary reports, and to, Lord, have these few moments in your word together. So I pray that your Spirit will minister to our hearts, challenge us, help us, reinforce, Lord, these matters that we'll talk about tonight. And I'll thank you for your help. We need it in Jesus' name. And amen. He is faithful. Now, you've heard that statement. Or that she is a faithful lady. She's a faithful woman. Or that's a faithful man. We are familiar with those type statements. They are said often about people when describing their Christian character. And the truth of the matter is that faithfulness is one quality that every child of God should seek to possess. Now, in our passage, Paul is writing to the Corinthian people here about ministers. You see that in verse number 1. He says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. And so he's writing to the Christian, the Corinthian people there about ministers. And I suppose he's talking about pastors and evangelists and preachers and teachers. You find those offices over there in Ephesians chapter 4. The ministers, the servants of God, if you will. And he mentions in verse 1 that ministers are stewards of the mysteries of God. stewards are ministers of the mysteries of God. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, a steward is one who attends to the affairs of their master. All right? I think we pretty well have settled that before. A steward doesn't own anything himself. He works and serves the man who owns it all. And he takes care of what the man owns, and he takes care of it carefully, as if it was owned, if not better. But he manages the affairs of another. Now, as preachers and as evangelists and so forth, Paul and the other men were responsible for revealing the mysteries of God's truth to the people. You see, there were a lot of things that would be revealed in the New Testament that were not revealed in the Old Testament. For instance, the local church, okay, was a mystery. It wasn't revealed in the Old Testament. Christ in you, the hope of glory, was another mystery. Was never revealed. I'm talking about the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit was never revealed in the Old Testament. There were mysteries that were not revealed until the New Testament day and age, and they didn't have a completed Bible like you and I have. So God would reveal truth to Paul, to Peter, to the other men who were preachers, evangelists. And it was up to those men to be good stewards of that truth. So take the truth that God gave them and then pass it on to the people to whom they were serving and to whom they were ministering. So that's what the context is talking about here, okay? Now you got no completed Bible, no Bible that you can turn to, no New Testament anyway. So all of it was revealed truth. Now, folks, we are beyond that, okay? There is no revealed truth that's been unhidden, that's been hidden in this day and age. There are no apostles, regardless of what the van says that you see driving down the road, okay? That's done. It's over. We got a completed Bible now. And whatever God has revealed, it's in the pages of this book, okay? Now, we are being good stewards of the truth that God has revealed. Paul and them are getting it as they're writing it. Okay? So he said, you be a good steward of the mysteries. And we're supposed to be good stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, then he says in verse number 2 that one of the requirements of stewards is faithfulness. So one of the generic requirements of stewards is that they be faithful. No matter what type of work or calling that they may be involved in, a steward must be faithful. These men were stewards of the mysteries of God. I am not a steward of the mysteries of God because there are no more mysteries. Okay? Everything has been revealed. But nonetheless, I fall under the auspices of God's Word as far as being a steward of God's Word. I have to be a good steward of God's Word to the people that I preach to and that I teach to on a weekly basis. It doesn't matter what your calling is. That's what Paul said in verse number 1. He's talking specifically about men who are preachers and pastors and evangelists. But when you get to verse number 2, he's saying, remember that one of the generic requirements of a steward of any kind is to be faithful. So whether you're a pastor or a plumber, if you're a Christian plumber, you'd be faithful. If you're a Christian, if you're an evangelist, or you're an architect and you're a Christian, be faithful. Because that's one of the requirements of any kind of steward. A steward is to be faithful. No matter what type of work or calling you're involved in, a steward must be faithful. Remember the steward in the parable that Jesus taught in Luke chapter 16. He was going to give an account of his stewardship. Why? Because he had been accused of wasting the owner's goods. And they brought the accusations to the owner, and the owner told the steward, you're going to have to come and give an account because you've been accused of wasting my goods. He obviously had not been faithful with his master's goods. So one of the requirements for a steward of any kind is faithfulness. Now, with that settled, what is the definition of faithfulness? You know, you hear that a lot. Be faithful. But what's that mean? You know, you want to have the characteristic of faithfulness. What does it mean to be faithful? What is faithfulness? Well, Webster's first definition of the word faithful is this. There's the first one. There's several definitions, but this is the first one on his list. Firm in adherence to the truth and to the duties of religion. Firm in adherence to the truth and to the duties of religion. So, if we take that as the definition of the Bible word faithful, okay, the English word faithful, faithfulness is not only the adherence to truth, but it is Faith, it's adherence to the application of that truth in our lives. Faithfulness involves not only what we believe, faithfulness involves how we behave. Okay? You be faithful to what you believe, and then you be faithful to how you've been taught to behave. Be firm in your adherence to truth. It's what we believe, and it's how we behave. So what Paul is saying, what's faithfulness? Find the truth when it comes to belief. Find the truth when it comes to behavior, and then be firm in adherence to it. Now, folks, when you think about it, if faithfulness revolves around truth, then, you know, obviously, the whole truth never changes. Now, culture changes, and fashion changes, and all kinds of things change, but truth never changes. You know, what this book is today, it will be, if Jesus stays in heaven another 100 years, it'll be the same 100 years as it is tonight. What this book is tonight is what it was 1,000 years ago. Okay, 400 years ago. Okay, and before that, in the manuscripts and so forth. Truth does not change. It's God's truth. Here it is. And so faithfulness is being firm in what we believe this book teaches, and faithfulness is being firm in our behavior as we practice this book. So that's something that every child of God should strive for in every area of their Christian walk. You know, one of the little common things thrown around today by the, you know, the people who are trending toward the emergent church. They're not emergent church, but they're trending that direction. And one of the things that they say, this was said by a prominent preacher about the sword of the Lord. Said, well, you know, the sword of the Lord, they're nice people and they're good folks, but that's 1950s Christianity, and we are 2010 Christianity or 2015 Christianity. And, you know, folks, I'm sorry, cultures may change between 1950 and 2015, but truth doesn't change. What was true then is true today. And if I'm faithful, then I'm going to be firm in my adherence to truth. Truth that I'm taught to believe, and truth that I'm taught to apply, how to behave in my life. So, as I understand faithfulness, we should all live faithful lives. We should strive to be faithful in every area of our Christian walk. Faithful to God, faithful to Jesus, faithful to the Holy Spirit, faithful to our spouses and our families, faithful to our church, faithful to our Christian ministry, faithful to our employer or our employees, faithful to our Christian brothers and sisters. Whatever was true about that kind of behavior and belief in the 1920s is true in 2015. If Jesus stays in heaven until 2300, truth never changes. Truth never changes. It's the same. And faithfulness is adherence to truth, firm adherence to truth. And Paul said, it's required in a steward that he be found faithful. Now, I want to give you, there are several virtuous reasons for us to strive for faithfulness. Let me give you three or four tonight. It won't be long on any one of these. Several virtuous reasons. And by the way, folks, I can expound a little bit or go a little further on this. But you know what? If alcohol was wrong in 1950, alcohol is wrong in 2020. Now, that doesn't change. Okay, if this kind of music came out in 1960s was wrong, you know, it's not right today simply because it's been sanitized and brought into churches. Truth never changes. Okay, so there's got to be firm adherence to truth. That's what the word faithful means. Now, and I could go on and on, you know, and that's true about everything in life. Okay, now let me say this. First of all, there's virtuous reasons for us to be faithful. And here they are. This is not exhaustive, but it'll give you three or four. Number one, faithfulness is a characteristic of the Godhead. Faithfulness is a characteristic of the Godhead. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 9 says this, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God." So God, that's a reference to God the Father, He is called the faithful God. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 17, talking about Jesus, the Bible says that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, talking about Jesus. He's a faithful high priest. In Revelation 19, when Jesus comes again on that white horse, His name is Faithful and True. So God the Father is faithful, and we know that Jesus is faithful. There's no specific verse that says the Spirit of God is faithful, but there are many verses that say God is faithful, and that reference to God is a reference to the Godhead as a whole. So, you know, if God the Father is faithful and God the Son is faithful, it's probably pretty safe to assume that God the Spirit is faithful too. All right? So what I'm simply saying tonight is faithfulness is a characteristic of the Godhead. It's a pretty good goal for God's people if we want to be anything like Jesus Christ. All right? Faithfulness. I mean firm adherence to the truth. Emulating a characteristic of the Godhead is a great goal for a child of God. And the Godhead is faithful. It is a characteristic of the Godhead. Let me say number two tonight. That faithfulness is a characteristic of the Word of God. It's a characteristic of God's Word. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 9, Paul was writing Timothy. He made a statement, and then he said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." Now, that phrase is repeated several times in the Bible, in the New Testament especially, and it's always a reference about things written in the Word of God. The Bible is a book that is true to itself. You know, Charles Darwin's books are not even true. Not at all. But the Bible is a book that is true to itself. It is faithful. It has firm adherence to truth. So the characteristic of the Word of God. Let me say this number three tonight. Many great Bible characters were faithful. Let me just give you a rundown here. You don't have time to write all these down probably, or to turn to them. I'm not going to turn to them either. Numbers 12:7 says that Moses was faithful. 1 Samuel 22:14 says David was faithful. Nehemiah 7:2 says Hananiah was faithful. Nehemiah 9:7 and 8 says Abraham was faithful. Nehemiah 13:13 says Shelemiah, Zadok, Pedaiah, and Hanan were faithful. Isaiah 8:2 says that Uriah and Zechariah were faithful. Daniel 6:4 says Daniel was faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:17 says Timothy was a faithful man. Ephesians 6:21, Tychicus. Colossians 1:7, Epaphras. Colossians 4:9, Onesimus. 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul. 1 Peter 5:12, Silvanus. Revelation 2:13, Antipas. Now, there's the list of people whose names are mentioned in the Bible, where the Bible specifically says those people were faithful. Now, there are some names missing from this list. Okay? Names of people that we know were faithful, but for whatever reason, the Word of God never uses that description of them. But here's the thing that I found interesting in this. That list of names. Anybody know who Zadok was? Priest, yeah, but that's about it, right? But you know much about him? How about Pedaiah? How about Silvanus? How about Antipas? Antipas was a martyr. Okay, but I don't think we know. Well, how about we know David? Sure. Moses? Yeah. Daniel? Paul? So here's what stuck out to me. Some of these people are well-known men. Others are basically unknown. Basically unknown to us. But they were all faithful. Now here's what I'm saying. Faithfulness is not for a select group of people. Faithfulness is for every Christian. Now, I don't know a Christian who's exempt from faithfulness. Or who can claim any exemption from faithfulness. Yeah, but my schedule and my taste, it has nothing to do with schedule. It has nothing to do with preference. It has everything to do with being faithful to the Word of God. Faithful. It doesn't matter if you're popular or unpopular. It doesn't matter if you're known or unknown. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're out in front leading people or if you are behind the scenes that nobody can ever see. It doesn't matter, folks. Everybody and anybody who is a Christian should and can achieve this characteristic of faithfulness. Faithfulness. Firm adherence, you know, and by the way, I know who I'm talking to tonight. This is the Wednesday night crowd. And I'm not saying that all the people who are not here tonight are unfaithful. Some of them, their schedules, work schedules and everything, second shift, they can't be here. But I want to tell you something. There's people sitting at home tonight who could be here and have all kinds of reasons and excuses why they are exempt from faithfulness. But I don't see any exemption. Unless you've got some kind of, you know, work schedule that takes you out of church on Wednesday night, or you're physically, Zach Johnson's at home, his ACL was shredded and his meniscus was actually flipped over, and it was a long surgery for Zach. Obviously, he's got to be here tonight. But, you know, and it's not just Wednesday night church. It's adherence to all things that are truth. It's talking about in our homes, in our families, in our church service. It's talking about at work as an employee or an employer. What does the Bible teach about that part of the Christian walk? Find out what the Bible teaches. Adjust your behavior. And then you know what? Be faithful. Don't budge. Be firm. Be firm. Give firm adherence. You know, it doesn't matter if you're known or unknown. You know, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If you're the pastor or if you're just a person who comes to church and, you know, has a place of service but doesn't really have a position of influence, that's okay. Be faithful. Faithfulness is required in stewards. And a lot of great Bible characters were faithful. Now let me say this tonight, number four, faithfulness has benefits. Faithfulness has benefits. Now, let me read some of these verses to you. Psalm 31:23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye His saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. Psalm 109:6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. I love that verse. That's a great verse. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Matthew 25:21-23. Talking about the servants, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Folks, I will say this. I will say that, you know, God doesn't give influence to unfaithful people. He doesn't do that. Now, God may not give influence to people who are faithful. He may just have you in a position where you're not that influential to others' lives. But God doesn't give influence to unfaithful people. Okay? He gives influence to faithful people. 1 Timothy 1:12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There is a benefit and a reward to faithfulness. God blesses this matter of faithfulness. He does. He just blesses faithfulness. Finding out what is true, believing it, and then adjusting your behavior to it and adhering to it. Don't stray from it. Once you found out what the truth is, don't change. And once you found out how to live a truthful life, don't change. Stick to it. Be faithful. Be faithful. Now think about this. Point number five. Faithfulness to death by persecution will be rewarded. Faithfulness to death by persecution will be rewarded. Revelation 2:10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, that's sometimes called the martyr's crown. And that man Antipas, that we talked about being a faithful man, he got the martyr's crown because he was faithful unto death. If God chooses for us to lose our lives by way of persecution for the cause of Christ, there's a reward for those who are faithful in spite of the persecution. And when I talk about persecution, I'm not talking about getting your toe slammed in the door, okay, or something, you know, your tire blows out going down the interstate. I'm talking about when you are persecuted for the cause of Christ by the enemies of Christ, okay? If that persecution results in a person's death and they're faithful, then they receive the crown of life. Now, these are some of the virtues of faithfulness. We hear that word a lot. We hear that terminology a lot. What is it? It is the firm adherence to truth and to the duties of religion. Learn truth from the source of truth and stick to it. Learn how to practice truth from the source of truth and stick to it. Now look, I don't go out visiting and winning, trying to win souls to Christ because I'm a pastor. I did that. When I started doing that, it was about February or March of 1976. I'd just been saved a few months. I'm not the world's super soul winner. There have been weeks that I have missed going out and visiting people, trying to witness to folks and handing out tracts. But by and large, for almost 40 years now, I've been going out and trying to be a witness for Christ because I believe that's what I learned that years ago. Why would I change from that? Why would I vary from that? Because you're a pastor. Has nothing to do with being a pastor. Had everything to do with being faithful. You know, I don't look at certain things. I don't allow myself to see certain things or look at certain things. Why? Because I learned a long time ago that's not proper and right according to the source of truth. Why would I change? I shouldn't listen to a certain type of music. Why would I change on that? I'm not going to change on that. I'm not going to change on it just because somebody sanitizes it and brings it into a church. Okay? I'm not going to change it. Look, you know, being faithful to truth, not only in your belief, but in your practice, is so safe. It's safe. Today, it keeps you on an even keel as a Christian. Now, nobody lives a Christian life that's on a perfect even keel. You know, all of us have our ups and downs. That's obvious, folks. And I think that's taught in the Bible, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and other places. Okay? Sometimes the wind's going to be in your face. Sometimes the wind's going to be at your back. Okay? Sometimes the sun is shining. There's no cloud. Sometimes it's overcast overhead. All right? That's how it is in the Christian life. But we shouldn't live our life like this. You said before, our life needs to be, we need to bring the highs down, bring the lows up, and live our life. Let all things be done in moderation. All right? So try to get your life like this. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Faithfulness helps you live like this. Faithfulness will keep you from living like this. You know, I had 3 phone calls today that were literally gut-wrenching. 3 in one day. And one, I didn't even say from about 8:15 till about 3:15. So what is that? 7 hours? In a 7-hour time period, I fielded 3 phone calls that were literally gut wrenching. They don't involve people in this church. They involve some people who this church knows, and they are gut wrenching. I mean, where I stood at my kitchen window and wept. It just hit me so hard. And in one of the phone calls, I made a follow-up phone call later on in the day to the brother, and you know, he had to stand in the pulpit tonight with a tremendously heavy heart and a burden on him, the likes of which no man in this church would want to carry. And he said, brother, I'm okay. I can go to the pulpit tonight and I can give a lesson because Christ is my peace. And he said, I got to be careful how much I say. He said, I learned a set of principles years ago. And he said, I've tried to stick to those principles, and those principles are helping me right now. Help me right now. Faithfulness will keep you on keel. Faithfulness makes it a safe for a Christian. Find out what's true. If it's true, stick to it. Stick to it. If it's in your belief, your system of belief, stick to it. Find out what's true when it comes to behavior and stick to it. And don't buy into the stuff that's out there today. About this myriad of stuff about, well, the culture has changed and it's not the same. You know, that's 1950s Christianity. I'll tell you, friend, it wouldn't hurt us to have a good dose of 1950s Christianity right now. Would you take 1950s into public schools? I would. I'd take 1950s into Christian schools. 1950s public school and the Christian schools today. It wouldn't hurt us to have some 1950s Christianity. When it comes to our behavior and how we get along, it wouldn't hurt us a bit. No, sir, friend, I will tell you, not a bit. Not a bit. And, you know, I'll close with this. Did I tell you all this? I can't remember what I say sometimes in some places, but the couple from Liberia and Cameroon, they were here again this past Sunday. And, you know, I was there making a visit in the house. And the brother of the man from Liberia said to me, they're saved people, but he said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, I don't want to offend you. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'd like to ask you a question. I said, what is it? He said, why here in America can they not read the Bible in the schools? Why can they not pray? He could not fathom how that here in America, the Bible was outlawed in the public schools. He couldn't fathom it. Hey, I talked to a missionary. This had nothing to do with one of the gut-wrenching phone calls. This was a good phone call. And the missionary, we were talking about, you know, which missionaries do you support and which missionaries do you not support. And just so you know, because sometimes, you know, not everything is discussed from the pulpit. But, you know, when we take on missionaries, we have certain standards and things that we ask the people who teach Sunday school to adhere to. Now, you go out in the community and they're going to tell you, oh, if you go to Faith Baptist, you can't do this, 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 and this. And there's no truth to it. But if you're going to teach Sunday school, here's what you're going to have to agree to. You all know that. Well, I apply that same standard to the missionaries. I think it's only fair. If a guy couldn't teach Sunday school in our church, I'm not sure we should be sending money to him. Does that make sense to y'all? And I was explaining this some months ago to a younger pastor. He said, how do you decide? And I said, this is what we do. This is what I do anyway. If they could qualify to be a Sunday school teacher here at Faith Baptist, I'll entertain them as a possible missionary. You say, does that mean all those that don't qualify, don't have certain standards, they're no good? No, I'm glad they're out there. I'm glad they're preaching the gospel. But I want to tell you something. I'm going to support our people, our guys. Okay? And that's who we're going to entertain for support. So I was talking to this missionary today because there was a question on the questionnaire, and he had answered it in such a way that I needed to question him about it. He's going to come here in a few months, next year sometime. And he said, brother, he said, no. He said, that's not what I meant at all. He said, in fact, I won't tell you where he's going. He said, where I am going, the culture of where we are going, the women never wear anything but skirts. And if I told you where he was going, you'd say, what? And they only wear skirts. Now, isn't that interesting? That's interesting to me. Folks, America has shifted. In so many ways, it's not just music, and it's not just dress. It's so many ways we've shifted. And for somebody to stand, you know, for somebody to say to another pastor, oh, the sword of the Lord, they're good people and a good crowd, but that's 1950s Christianity, and we're too... Well, let me ask you a question. I don't think truth has changed from 1950 to 2015. Now, how it's broadcast has changed. That's changed. But truth hasn't changed. And faithfulness is finding out what truth is from the Scripture and believing it, and finding out how the Scripture teaches us to behave and believing it and being faithful to it, firm adherence to it. And it's safe. And, there's going to be, my guess is there's going to be less and less faithfulness to truth as we get closer to the coming of Christ. I told somebody today, I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be a part. Not that I hate anybody that goes away from truth. Don't mean them ill at all. But I want to be one who sticks firm to truth. I don't want to wreck in the last lap. I'll be firm to the end. Okay? And I think we're going to, you know, change in what we believe and change in how we behave is going to become more prevalent as the night grows darker and darker. But I want to tell you something. There are some virtues of faithfulness. And Godhead is faithful. And the Word of God, the characteristic of the Word of God is faithful. Some great people in the Bible were counted faithful. God rewards faithfulness. And, you know, if God requires our lives to be taken by persecution, then there's a crown of life for that. It'll be rewarded. Now, next week, I'm going to look at some of the applications of faithfulness. In other words, what are some of the practicalities of faithfulness? And the Bible tells us about some of them. But tonight, I wanted to just give this introductory lesson on the virtues of faithfulness. And I know, that by and large, tonight, I'm speaking to the crowd that's found faithfulness and you're being faithful. Not just in church attendance, but in other areas of your Christian life as well. And I just say, let's stay right at it. Okay, let's stand together, and we'll have prayer here. Father, I pray that you'll help us to be found faithful. Lord, it's a requirement in stewards, no matter what area or vocation of work or ministry we're involved in. If we're up in front, if we're behind the scenes, that doesn't matter. Help us, Lord, to learn what truth is, believe it, and practice it, and not change from it. Help us to be firm in our adherence to the truth. Now, thank you for it. Lord, thank you for the group of people you've given us here at Faith Baptist. And Lord, help us to practice truth in our lives, to believe what's truth as taught from your word, never with a haughtier attitude than anybody else, but Lord, in simple humility, obeying and adhering to truth. Well, thank you for it. Bless our church, our people in this area, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, give us one verse and we will have the